T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tonight, Democratic debate, as in football, I guess the top 10 will be featured. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. So we are less than, for people that don't realize, I guess, what, 5 months from the Iowa caucuses?
Yeah, we are. It's going to be February 3rd is the, let's say, the, I guess, the official start. So we're still in the, I call it the pre-caucus, pre-primary stage, where we're winnowing it down so there's a reasonable number of people to go to Iowa.
So we got the top 10 as illustrated by polls, as determined by money that they've raised. How did they decide what 10 candidates get to appear on stage?
Okay, what it is, it's a combination of two different things. First off, you had to poll at least 1% in four national polls. And those polls picked by the Democratic National Committee, which ones they think were appropriate. And then second, you had to have raised money from 130,000 individual donors, different donors. And so that's those two combinations together. Now, I can anticipate a question right now that one of my students asked me, and they said, well, is that a good way of winnowing down the candidates? And I was kidding and saying rock, paper, scissors might have been just about as effective, because getting at least 1% in the poll, that's not a lot. 130,000 donors, yes. But when you were saying we got our top 10 candidates, we probably have 4 or 5 right now that are viable. The other 5 are barely polling at 1% in the poll. And I'm not sure polling at 1% is, you're in the top 10, but that's certainly not very high threshold if you think about it.
Is that to curry favor with the party where it's like, well, look, unofficially, we know these bottom 5 don't have a chance of the 1%, but we're going to put them in just keep everybody happy?
I think it's partly that. Also the fact that if we actually do look at going back over a 40-year period for the Democrats, the 3 candidates who have gone on to win the nomination, win the presidency, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, were relatively unknowns, you know, when they first started running. And so I don't think they want to completely exclude the fact that somebody unknown catches fire and goes on the way those 3 people did to win the presidency. But I think there's a little bit of intra-party, politics going on here in terms of trying to appease, you know, a lot of different interests. But if you think of it at this point, the polls are suggesting it's Biden, Sanders, Harris, Warren, probably as your top 4, maybe Buttigieg as 5th. Those are probably the 5 who really have more than just an asterisk next to their name when it comes to how well they're doing in the polls.
So when you say, and we'll pick it up here when we come back, David, when you say a relative unknown, right?
Yeah.
When you say that, and you can answer when we come back, does that mean one of the 10 that are on the stage, or does that mean some outlier that is not on the stage, it's going to come from somewhere that we don't even see right now, or is not even on a radar? We'll talk more when we come back, talking about the Democratic debate tonight. If you have any questions or comments, you need only call 260-1870 or text them to 870-870. Might be a little bit easier in the morning as you go to work and drop the kids off, etc. It's 620. Speaking of all of that, let's take a look at traffic now on WWL. David Schultz, our guest, 624. David's a professor of political science at Hamline University, and we're talking about the Democratic debate tonight. And even if you aren't a Democrat, it's kind of like the Saints playing the Rams this weekend. You kind of want to know about the opposition if President Trump's your guy. So when it comes to the issues, I guess, do they go by this according to platform or according to polling data that indicates what issues are going to get them the most votes? I guess which comes first, the horse or the wagon?
I'm suspecting that's going to probably be the issues that most resonate or most appeal to, I'm going to say, what, probably the journalists who are asking the questions. And I say that because, well, you probably noticed the same thing that I do, that sometimes the kind of questions that you and I might be interested in asking a candidate aren't always the questions that the journalists ask. You know, they've got their own kind of agenda. So I think it's going to be, you know, whatever the reporters tonight think are the hot topics that they're going to ask them. Now, the candidates, you know, who are running, they all seem to be talking about what? They're all against Trump. Okay, that's easy. Okay, we can figure that out. Okay, you know, but they're talking about like health care. You know, there's concern, you know, that the economy is slowing down. So probably jobs will be, you know, be issues like that. I think those are the things that they want, that they generally want to talk about. And then, of course, each candidate has defined for themselves, you know, what is the specific issue that really distinguishes them. So they're going to hope to get a chance to talk about that. And that's the one thing to watch tonight, you know, is, and for any debate, by the way, you know, candidates always have what, their two or three talking points. And what I always find interesting is you could ask them what color the sky is, and they'll give you, you know, their talking points instead. And so look to see that a lot tonight also.
Somebody said this, and we're going to get back to the serious stuff in a second, but that it's, they love to record it and then watch it backward to watch the answer and then go back to see what the question was and to see if the two of them match up at all. And oftentimes they do not.
You're right. I was going to say, what's the show, Jeopardy or something like that? You sort of, it's kind of like perverse Jeopardy or something like that, I guess, yeah.
All right, let's see what the question was. Pause. All right, now let's go back to the videotape there. So in terms of low-hanging fruit and hating President Trump, I mean, if I'm a Democrat and I'm a registered independent, but I'm saying, yeah, okay, that's presumed. You wouldn't be running if you didn't hate President Trump, all right? So let's just skip all of that. Or does the Democratic base want to hear that?
They still want to hear that. In some sense, they want to hear who's most anti-Trump. And so that's going to be your first dividing line. What appears to be the second dividing line, if the polls are correct at this point, is which candidate seems to be the best in terms of being able to defeat Donald Trump. It's the electability issue. And again, I think what was it earlier this week, Washington Post, ABC did a poll and said that voters most like Elizabeth Warren, but they think Bernie Sanders and more importantly, Joe Biden are most electable. So this year, it seems to be that electability issue is pretty high on many Democrats' marks. But still, again, there are people who are looking at particular issues or who are, you know, off in their own direction and care about, you know, something specific. Like, I'm still having a hard time explaining Marianne Williamson, you know, in terms of a candidate being treated as a serious candidate. I don't know about you, but just it's hard for me to figure that out.
I think she's a fascinating woman. I don't know that. Well, anyway, that's another story. Speaking of that, and I don't mean this to be misogynistic at all, because we all know there is a double standard, and a strong woman is perceived as unlikable. I don't want to use any words here, where a strong man is perceived as a great leader.
Right.
But likability is very important, if you want to call it Q factor, I think, or whatever it is, when it comes to being elected. Is there any way that Elizabeth Warren can, or does she need to somehow soften her image a little bit? Because there are some people, and maybe it doesn't matter to Democrats, but I've heard things, and there are people that don't like Elizabeth Warren based on the most excruciating minutia.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, there's no question there's a double standard. So we're going to acknowledge the fact that there's a double standard. But having acknowledged that, a candidate like Elizabeth Warren has to figure out how to address that, because that's the unfortunate reality of the world. And I'm not sure, you know what it is. You know, I used to say for some candidates that being, I used to say taking a pie in your face at the local fair would be a good idea. If you know what I mean? Kind of like
Duncan Booth, that kind of thing. Yeah, humanize yourself.
Yeah, yeah, but it's really hard to figure out, because when we have, for so often now, people say, can I go out and have a beer? Can I go out and have a cup of coffee with the candidate? I'm not sure how you soften your image, because at some point, I think voters are smart. Voters see who you are and know who you are. I think back when, what was it, John Kerry, you know, ran for office many, many years ago. Kerry had a, you know, real problem, because did he come across as kind of a stiff, what are you going to call it, like, you know, upper class Bostonian? Yeah, because why? That's what he, that's who he was, you know. And so sometimes, you know, I don't know, you can't fool the American public. They know who you are.
I appreciate your time, David. I really do. Outliers are they who, like you mentioned Barack Obama earlier, Are they? Is that person on the stage tonight?
Yes, they are. I was going to say, when I say outliers, these were outliers I would call people who are not part of the inside Washington establishment, of which Obama, Clinton, and Carter were not at the time. So I think you probably have the collection of people on the stage today, one of whom will probably eventually be the Democratic nominee.
Give me a name.
Right now, if I were still betting, it's Joe Biden.
I mean, if you were still betting.
Yeah.
Did you like to place a wager, David?
Okay. How about you and I do? I don't know. What can we bet on?
Nah, I learned betting football a long time ago. That's not a good thing for me to do. Thank you, David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. 6:30. Time for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.